A lot of times we eat a food or a dish without knowing too much about its background or the people who made it. We eat at a new restaurant, try a new recipe, try a different regional food, whatever it might be. This week's Food Friday guest wanted to write a cookbook that shared the stories of the people behind the food. She presents the recipes along with the life and culture of the people who introduced it to her. Yasmin Khan is an author, campaigner, and cook. She's passionate about sharing people's stories through food. Her latest cookbook is called Zaytoun, Recipes from the Palestinian Kitchen. Yasmin, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, great to be here.
Well, I think a lot of times when we hear about the Palestinian people here in the United States, it's as part of a crisis, a problem, a conflict. You are bringing their lives to us through food. Can you tell us why you wanted to make that a priority?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, too often, we kind of tend to see certain people from certain bits of the world through a very narrow political prism. And, Palestine's a classic example. And I wanted to really use food as a way of sharing stories that humanize Palestinians, that share some of the beauty and joy that exist in their culture and celebrate their incredible food.
And just about every culture in the world has a food tradition that they love, that they're proud of. Can you talk about how the Palestinian people you talk to express themselves through food?
Sure. Well, for my book, so I'm a travel writer, and my cookbooks are primarily about me kind of going on a journey through a place, cooking with people in their home kitchens, or perhaps kind of, you know, discovering kind of restaurants and specialized kind of eateries that really represent a community. And so for the book, I traveled through Palestinian kitchens in Israel, the West Bank, and Gaza, and it was a real delight actually to be able to anyone who's traveled to that bit of the world will tell you, I mean, it used to be called the Fertile Crescent for a reason. It's a place where produce is just so fresh and flavorsome. I mean, you know, a simple tomato is so aromatic, you could just bite into it like an apple. But Palestinian food has got a lot of things that, you know, we'll be familiar with, you know, perhaps like bright kind of fattoush salads or tabbouleh, you know, herb-filled salads. And it also has a lot of stuffed vegetables, whether it's eggplants or, you know, peppers, you know, incredible braised okra dishes. And, you know, what I found as someone who, you know, in a region that I think we can all safely say, you know, we more commonly associate with conflict, with, you know, human rights issues, it food is just such a wonderful vehicle for discovery.
Well, let's get into some of the flavors that you encountered in Palestinian cooking. Let's start with the one that you chose for the title of your book, and I hope I'm saying it right, Zaytoun, the olives of the region.
Yes. So Zaytoun means olive in Arabic, but also Turkish and Farsi. It's a very common word in that region. And, you know, if there's one ingredient that is emblematic of Palestinian cookery, it's the olive. Small, you know, bowls of olives are present in almost every meal, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And most Palestinians have olive trees that they tend to, and the olive festival, the olive harvest festival that takes place in the autumn is a major cultural celebration. And for many Palestinians, the olive tree also represents their connection to the land. And when the olive tree is uprooted, also their displacement. So, you know, for all of those reasons, you know, olives seem to be like a great place to start.
Yasmin Khan is with us talking about her new book, Zaytoun, Recipes from the Palestinian Kitchen. Yasmin, let's talk about the spice palette that's present in a lot of Palestinian cooking. What kind of things are we sprinkling in here?
So it's Palestinian cookery is very delicately flavored, using spices such as allspice and cinnamon and cumin in savory cooking. And this was a big discovery for me because, you know, I growing up in the UK, allspice would be something that we kind of basically use for, you know, cakes and cookies and pies. And in Palestinian cookery, it was just so wonderful to find it as a marinade for meat dishes or added to stews, or perhaps, you know, a pinch sprinkled onto a salad as part of a dressing. And it's that kind of subtle warming spice that really makes me think of Palestinian cuisine.
Yeah, I have a kind of a knockoff chicken shawarma recipe that includes allspice, and that is something that makes it really distinctive, right?
It's very unique. Honestly, I think for me, you know, and I think of myself, you know, I've written about Middle Eastern food a lot and have, you know, I consider myself, you know, a bit of an expert. For me, that was just such a great surprise to find this new ingredient that I already had in my kitchen cupboard that I could just use in a different way.
And I'm happy to say a lot of the spices that are present there in the Mideast, we can find here in the Midwest. Like most of the stuff is available in stores. I want to talk about one that I have seen, but not as often. Za'atar, am I saying that right?
Yeah, that's right. So the two ingredients that perhaps you might be a bit unfamiliar with are sumac, which is this kind of astringent ground kind of powder from the sumac berry, and that's used to add like a lovely sharpness to dishes. And then also za'atar, which is this really fragrant aromatic spice mix made with they translate it as a type of wild thyme, but it's got more of an affinity with oregano and marjoram. But anyway, so it's that herb mixed with sesame seeds and sumac, and it's a really common Palestinian condiment, really. And Palestinian quite commonly would kind of tear off a bit of bread, dunk it in a bit of olive oil, and then tap it into the za'atar, and it makes just for a lovely little, you know, snack before you have your main meal.
And you were cooking with people in their own kitchens. We're talking about Palestinian cooking, but are there variations that might be from one person to, you know, the neighborhood across town or even the next door neighbor?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what struck me the most about traveling through the region, which is very small, was that it reminded me a lot of when you're in Italy and, you know, you'd go from 10 miles down the road and people would insist that the tomato sauce is done a particular way. And it felt very, very similar. I mean, I was really lucky for the process of the book. And, you know, these stories are chronicled in it. But I did all kinds of things from, you know, making a fattoush salad with an opera singer in Jerusalem to visiting the Middle East's first microbrewery, Tiber, just outside of Bethlehem, that are making incredible kind of beers and stouts and ales made from local Palestinian ingredients, to kind of joining the olive harvest in the north of kind of Jenin, to kind of visiting baklava pastry shops. And what I kind of learned on that journey is that, you know, Palestinian cookery can be split into three main areas. So you've got the food from the Galilee, which is more vegetable based. You know, I described some of those flavors earlier, things like the, you know, the braised okra or the stuffed eggplant, lots of seafood coming from the coasts. Then you've got the food from the West Bank, which is more influenced by Bedouin culture, and that's more, you know, more meat based. So one of my favorite recipes in the book is for this juicy pieces of roast chicken that have been marinated in allspice and sumac and then roasted in the oven with red onions and layered onto flatbreads with the meat put on top, and then all the juice from the chicken kind of poured on top of the bread, so it just kind of like oozes into it and you tear it apart with your hands. Like, that's just a real classic kind of meat-based dish from the West Bank. And then, you know, from a culinary point of view as well, the food from the Gaza Strip was the most extraordinary. You know, in Gaza, which again we most commonly associate with the blockade, you know, the food there has, it's, you know, the holy trinity of flavors is green chili and garlic and dill. So like dill seed is used in a lot of Gazan cookery, as well as like, you know, the fronds. And Gazan cuisine, you know, traditionally, again, kind of uses a lot of seafood, a lot of shrimp, and it's very punchy and intense. But of course, it's also the cuisine that's the most under threat. And, you know, because of the blockade, we now have a situation where, you know, sadly about 80% of Gazans are dependent on UN food aid to survive.
It's Food Friday. We're talking to Yasmin Khan, author of the book Zaytoun, Recipes from the Palestinian Kitchen. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you encountered Palestinian food? Did you grow up with Palestinian food? Is it part of your tradition? Have you traveled in the area yourself? What questions do you have for our guest? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We have recipes, by the way, at wpr.org/foodfriday, a salad and a spinach and feta packets. We'll get into those in just a bit, too. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we continue our conversation on Food Friday. Yasmin Khan is with us talking about her latest cookbook, Zaytoun, Recipes from the Palestinian Kitchen. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions for our guest about Palestinian food. Maybe tell us about your own experiences with Palestinian food, eating it or cooking it. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Yasmin, I mentioned you shared a couple recipes with us. We've got those up at WPR.org/Food Friday. I love this one for a cold Wisconsin day. The everyday Palestinian salad seems like it could really bring a taste of summer with it. Talk about this one, please.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things that you'll find in the Palestinian kitchen or when you're sitting down to share Palestinian meals is that there'll always be a fresh salad on the table, something with a bit of crunch and texture to, yeah, I guess, complement some of the richer stews. So this is a really easy chopped salad with diced cucumber and red onion and tomato and with a few kind of herbs kind of run through it. And it's just, you know, dressed really simply with olive oil and lemon juice. And it sounds so simple, but actually there's something about the kind of flavor combinations that just make it like an incredible, incredible simple salad.
And in your recipe, you've got the herbs as parsley and mint. Could we play around with substituting other fresh herbs?
I think with this one, no, you really want to go for the parsley and mint because they're the ones that, you know, the mint and the parsley, I don't know, they're just like a marriage made in heaven with those vegetables. So you want to stick to those. Cilantro is going to take off in a different direction.
What are some of the other common salads you might encounter at pretty much any meal?
Yeah, well, you always have fresh vegetables in the forms of little pickles. So they could be kind of beets or turnips. So they're just super easy to make. And I have chronicled quite a few recipes for them in the book. One thing that I really enjoyed, which is a seasonal salad that's good for this time of year, and is a salad that I enjoyed when I was in Ramallah in the West Bank. And it is for this salad made with arugula and radicchio and clementines, and then some radishes. So you have all these kind of vibrant winter vegetables, and then you dress it with, again, just like a sweet vinegar. You can use kind of a bit of date molasses or maple syrup if you have it, and then lots of good quality olive oil.
Let's talk a little bit about olive oil. Actually, we talked about the olives themselves. Olive oil, a big thing, obviously. Is olive oil from the region, from the Palestinian region, going to be different than what we might get from France or Spain or California?
Yeah, so it's a little bit more peppery. It's closer to Greek olive oil, but not quite as pungent and intense. So it works, you know. I do love Greek olive oil, but sometimes it is a bit strong for me. And Palestinian olive oil is a lot lighter, a bit more grassy with a tint of citrus. And it's really common in Palestinian kitchens when you kind of go into people's homes to see kind of several bottles of olive oil on the go because, you know, you never want to be cooking with the best quality olive oil. You just want to be using that to finish dishes. But lighter olive oils or little blends of olive oils are much better for frying baking or something.
And in the book, you mention a lot of the different food traditions that have crossed paths in the Middle East and been part of what is now Palestinian cooking. Can you talk about some of the different foods that have come across this crossroads from other parts of the world?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking at a bit of the world that, you know, over several millennia has had so many different empires go through it, you know, like from the Romans to, you know, the Greeks, to the Arabs, to the Persians, to the Ottoman Empire. I think kind of the Ottoman Empire, the kind of from Turkey, probably has had the most influence on the food that you see today. But what I think was really incredible was when you go through Palestinian villages, you know, there are certain dishes that you know, are very local to the Palestinian kitchen. So Nablus, for example, is this town in the West Bank, which is where kanafe originated. And kanafe is this really unusual Middle Eastern now because it's spread throughout the region, but Palestinian dessert, which, you know, I always describe as like the love child of a baklava and a cheesecake, because it's kind of like, and it's exactly as kind of, you know, as delicious as that sounds. But it's basically warm cheese. It's kind of, they call it a kawi cheese, but I make it in my book with just like a mozzarella, that's like an unsalted mozzarella that you top with flaky pastry, and then you heat in the oven, and then when it's hot and the cheese is all melted, you douse it in this gorgeous like rose water or orange blossom and cardamom sweet syrup. So it's kind of sweet and sticky and crunchy and gooey. It's a real treat.
It's Food Friday. We're talking about Palestinian cuisine. Yasmin Khan is with us. Her new book is called Zaytoun, Recipes from the Palestinian Kitchen. I want to check out another recipe now, Yasmin, that we've got at WPR.org/Food Friday, the spinach and feta parcels. How did you learn how to make these?
So this was in the house of, for the book, I collaborated with a local Palestinian photographer called Raya Manna. She was this incredible, like, punk Palestinian photographer. And this is a recipe I learned from her mum. Her mum was a school teacher. Living in this village called Majd al-Karum, in the north of the Galilee. And what these parcels are, they're called fataya in Arabic, and they're really lovely kind of yogurt dough enriched pastries that are stuffed with spinach, although you can use chard as well, feta cheese, and then they're kind of sharpened with sumac, that astringent spice I talked about, and they're really fun to make kind of with kids. We kind of had little kids running around while we were doing them, because kids always love little tactile things to make, and they're really kind of homely and warming, and, you know, when we're looking forward towards the summer months, which we're not quite there yet, they're also really great kind of picnic food.
And we've got this dough with as you said, the yogurt in it. The yogurt, I guess, is what puts it over the top here.
Yeah, it adds, it's made with yogurt and a little bit of olive oil. It adds just a lovely tang to the dough and makes it slightly fluffy, which I really like.
And do we end up frying this or baking it? How does it get cooked?
No, you just pop it in the oven and bake it.
Okay. Well, it looks really good. I'm looking at the picture right now and it looks awesome. Now, one thing, we don't have recipes up for this, but I don't want to get through this without talking about some of the stews you ran into. Can you tell us about the tradition? There's a lot of variety of the stew in Palestinian cooking.
There is. And I think the one that I'm going to talk about is the one, you know, it's always the more unusual ones that strike you. So, and this is the thing about Palestinian cookery. It's generally using ingredients that we're familiar with, but just using them in a different way. So this is a Gazan stew called sumagaya, and it's made with beef and chard and chickpeas, which you're thinking, okay, so that's not so unusual. But then what makes it special is the addition of tahini and sumac. So you get this kind of like nutty, creamy, kind of slightly sharp sauce, but actually it works so well with like, you know, slow cooked beef and chickpeas. So I always recommend people give that a go, because it's like slightly unusual, but, you know, really packs a punch in terms of flavor.
And you open the book, and some of these pictures caught us right away with some hummus recipes. What kind of variation do you see in the hummus, this mushed up chickpea, lemon, olive oil, garlic stuff?
I know. I feel like hummus and falafel are two things that can just be the most underwhelming food things as food items. You know, we've all like, I never really got falafel until I went to Bethlehem for the first time. You know, falafel is just so dry and mealy here. And then like you go to, you know, go to the region and it's filled with kind of, you know, it's crunchy and flavorsome. Hummus was really lovely. To learn kind of how Palestinians make it. So the hummus, Palestinian hummus has got a lot more tahini than kind of the stuff that we tend to buy in shops. And there are a few little knacks that I include in the book on how to make really good hummus, like, you know, by adding a few ice cubes, which There's a very magic trick to somehow kind of change the consistency of it as you're making it. But what's really great is on my first day when I landed, Raya, my photographer, I told you about, she said, well, let's go and have a traditional Palestinian breakfast. So we went off to a hummus joint because that is a really traditional breakfast. And you can get hummus with a variety of toppings. So you can get it with, it's like chickpea on chickpea. So like the hummus, and on top of it, you'd have this really gorgeous, warm chickpea, green chili, garlic and olive oil kind of base stew that's put on top of it. Or the one that I, went crazy for was kind of seared pieces of lamb, just kind of flash cooked, that are then put on top of the hummus. And that is just such an incredible combination. So yeah, I've included recipes for those in the book as well.
I was going to say, I was looking at that hummus with spiced lamb and trying to talk the producers into running home, making it and bringing it in for me. No luck, not yet. I wanted to ask, Yasmin, having been through this experience, spending so much time in Palestinian kitchens, learning how to make these, are there a couple of recipes that are now kind of part of your daily repertoire, either for the food themselves or the memories now they have for you?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I think the allspice thing was just a real game changer for me. And just like last week, I was making like a chickpea, a garbanzo stew, and I was like, oh, I must add like some allspice to it. So I think that is something that's definitely stayed with me. And then I think, I don't know, it's so many things. You know, I think the other thing is perhaps how, you know, there are a couple of recipes in the book, and certainly it's a big tradition in Palestine of having kind of vegetables that are, it's called cooked in oil, but it's basically like kind of a lightly kind of sauteed vegetable with fresh tomatoes. And now I do that quite a lot, you know, whether it's with green beans, whether it's with okra. Just there's something about Palestinian cookery that's very simple. You know, a lot of it just rests on having really good quality ingredients and really good quality olive oil. And I think it's the research of the book really kind of made me re-remember why those elements are so important in cooking.
Yasmin, that's all the time we have. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Yasmin Khan. Her new book is called Zaytoun Recipes from the Palestinian Kitchen. You can find two of those recipes, the Everyday Palestinian Salad and the Spinach and Feta Parcels, at wpr.org/foodfriday.